It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. It's Donnie Football, myself on a Donnie Football Friday. Our friend Nick Kostos on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Nick is the host of You Better You Bet. He's the Odyssey Sports Betting Insider for us. Insider Call presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better You Bet podcast for more analysis. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Nick, all hell has broken loose here. We're arranging bets on whether George Pickens' dad is going to weigh in on social media again like he did last week, whether this Michael Brewerly is actually a burner account of George Pickens, and will he go on during the game? Will he be throwing his helmet? Aside from that, it's a pretty big football game. What do you have on Steelers-Raiders for a best bet?
Well, Joe, first off, great to be on with you guys. If you guys find out, or if George Pickens' dad is listening right now, like, hit me up on Twitter and let me know what's going on with your son, because I bet his over receiving yards last week, and then he barely played in the game. Like, I'd like to know if he's going to play. Really important player, obviously, for the Steelers. The situation feels like a mess, obviously, with George Pickens. I think the good news, though, guys, for the game this week against the Raiders, this is a Raiders team that's completely rudderless right now, right? Antonio Pierce keeps yo-yoing the quarterbacks in and out. Everyone's favorite squad member, AOC, will be starting for the Raiders on Sunday. I do not think this is going to go well. Raiders' offensive line is all sorts of banged up against the Steelers' pass rush. Now, like, we think Justin Fields is going to start. I wouldn't be shocked. I'm not, like, reporting anything. I wouldn't be shocked if Russell Wilson ended up starting the game. I think if Fields has a bad game, I think it's definitely Russ moving forward for the Steelers. If you made me bet the game, I would lay the Pittsburgh Steelers here. I can never get to betting the Raiders. I don't know how they're scoring points in this game, guys, against the Pittsburgh defense.
Nick, how do you like the total in the game between Steelers-Raiders?
Well, it's 36.5, and I feel like it's probably 10 points too high. I would only ever bet the under in the game. Again, just like, how are the Raiders scoring in the game? Like, Zamir White, their top running back, is out. Like, Brock Bowers is awesome. He's really, might be the best tight end in the league already. I don't think that's hyperbole, but the Steelers know that. Like, you take Brock Bowers out of the game, you put Joey Porter on Jacoby Myers. How are they scoring? Like, how are they moving the ball?
Well, here's the thing, Nick. We thought, how are the Cowboys going to run the ball? They don't run on anybody. Suddenly they're running on the Steelers. Joe Flacco came in like Joe Namath in 1969 and carved them up. This defense stinks right now.
So you're right with what you said about Flacco. Flacco has been doing this his whole career. Like, bit of a different story. Great offensive head coach in Shane Steichen. Like, I understand the Cowboys' run game was pretty set. Also, like, Rico Dowdle averaged just, like, 4 yards per carry. It wasn't like it was like Emmitt Smith in his heyday. But look, like, Dallas has talented players on offense. Like, Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. Like, say what you want about Mike McCarthy, obviously a Pittsburgh guy, right? He was won a Super Bowl. Like, he's not some, like, curtain jerking jabroni. Like, the Raiders are curtain jerking jabronis. It's Luke Getsy, the former Bears offensive coordinator. How's that going? Like, how'd that go with him? And Antonio Pierce, and I'm a Giants fan. I love Antonio Pierce. But, I mean, like, making comments about business decisions for the players. He'll make some. Devontae Adams demanding a trade. Like, yo-yoing the two quarterbacks. Just doesn't seem like a very professional operation. I can always be wrong. I know I sound very confident here. Like, I just don't know how the Raiders are scoring a lot of points in this game. So, again, I'd only bet the Steelers, and I would bet the under if I had to. I feel like it's going to be, let's call it, 17-10 Steelers final score.
Nick, I'm actually going to be out in Las Vegas for this game this weekend, going with some buddies. We're leaving tomorrow morning. This is my first venture out there, and it just seems like a playground for somebody like you. I was about to just ask if I wanted to place an exact score, what would you go with? You just said it there. So a 17-10, something around there is what I should go with?
17-10, 20-10, 20-13, 17-13. Yeah, something lower scoring where the Steelers win and cover. 17-6, 17-9, something like that. Yeah.
What else should Donnie do? You strike me as a guy who knows your way in and around Vegas. What?
How big of a degenerate is he?
Scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 7.
Okay, so Donnie, like, you like to get after it a little bit? Like, I'm 41 at this point now, and I have a young child. Those days are behind me. I feel like Donnie, you like to go out and get after somebody?
He's got a lot of football left in him.
I mean, we're all guys that are in like our mid to late 20s, so we still have some time left in us.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you know, like this pin the drunken tail on the donkey, man. Just go wherever, man. Go to any of the clubs, any of the casino bars. Like, you are going to have the absolute time of time that exists in Las Vegas. It doesn't exist. There's no clocks anywhere. They're pumping oxygen. 4 in the morning feels like 4 in the afternoon. You're going to have an amazing time.
Should I rally the boys at 6:30 a.m. Vegas time on Sunday to get in on that London game?
Is that even a question, Nick? Of course he should.
I would say, Donnie, if you have to rally your friends on Sunday morning, I would say those are friends that you should not want to have in your life. They should be up and ready to go.
All right, Nick. We have a couple more here. This game right here. I'm from Buffalo and a close Bills follower. Some dysfunction has set in with that offense, but it ain't nothing compared to the Jets. How do you feel about that game on Monday night?
Great. So a couple things going on here on both sides. We'll start with Buffalo. So people will look at Josh Allen's stat line from last week against the Texans, right? 9 of 30 for 131 yards. And you'll think, wow, like Josh Allen played poorly in the game. And it's like, okay, like you could have that opinion. Or like you could watch the game and you could see that none of his receivers get open. None of them. When Khalil Shakir, who's a good player, when Khalil Shakir is the Jenga piece, when you take him out of the tower and the whole thing comes crumbling down, like your offense has got a big problem. Shakir's the only guy that can get open consistently. Keon Coleman can't get open. Like Dalton Kincaid gets doubled. Mac Hollins is just a guy. MVS is just a guy. They've got nothing in this passing game right now. And Shakir did not practice yesterday. I think the Bills' offense is in a spot of trouble and maybe has been solved now without a true number one, at least until, you know, the rookie Coleman emerges into that. That's what they hope. And as far as the Jets go, we don't know if Jeff Ulbrich, the interim head coach, we don't know if he's good, right? We have no idea. I'm willing to bet there's no way he's worse than Robert Saleh. I would say that, like, probability-wise, he's better. Since Robert Saleh was, like, a 0 out of 10, it's probable that Jeff Ulbrich is at least a 1 or, like, a 2. And maybe he's better than that. And Todd Downing will be calling the plays for the Jets, and not, like, Todd Downing's Bill Walsh calling plays, but he's definitely better than Nathaniel Hackett. So I think these are upgrades for the Jets. Bill's offense is in big trouble. Give me the Jets on Monday night to win the game, guys, against Buffalo.
Nick, how about the other games with the AFC North teams in of the Ravens, a 6.5-point favorite against the Commanders. The Browns are huge road dogs against the Eagles, 9.5 points. And then the Bengals on Sunday Night Football, 3.5-point favorite against your Giants.
We'll start with the Giants game. I was excited to bet the Giants in this game until we found out that Kayvon Thibodeau, one of their young stud pass rushers, has a broken bone in his wrist, had surgery a couple days ago. He's week to week. He's out for this game. And then the Giants announced about a half an hour ago, they made it official. And if you play fantasy football and you've got him, get him out of your lineups. Malik Nabers is not going to play on Sunday. Oh, kind of a scary thing. He got concussed. This is 15 days now since he got concussed that Thursday night game against Dallas. So Nabers is out. So no Nabers, no Thibodeau. I kind of think the Bengals are going to wreck the Giants on Sunday. I would only bet Cincinnati in the game. Commanders and Ravens, I think Washington has enough offense to keep this game close. Baltimore's definitely better, but I don't know if Baltimore should be this big of a favorite against an offense that good on the other side. So, Donnie, for people that agree with me, if you think Washington, and I'm not saying Washington's going to win, but if you think the Commanders can keep the game close, I think we can wait and you can bet +7 as opposed to +6.5, which is what the line is right now. So wait if you like the Commanders, and I think you'll get a 7. And then I have a contrarian opinion on the Browns-Eagles game, which I actually think is so contrarian that I think I might be the idiot. Like, I think I might be way wrong here. I think the Browns are going to keep this game closer than the betting market expects. Now, the current point spread, guys, is 9.5. Philly's 9.5-point favorite over the Browns. Once it's officially announced that A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, their top two receivers, and Lane Johnson, their future first ballot Hall of Fame right tackle, once it's announced that they're all playing, the point spread's probably going to go up to 10, in which case I will bet the Cleveland Browns +10. To use a stock market analogy, this is the ultimate buy low to buy low on the Cleveland Browns here. Like, I don't think that they will ever be lower in the betting market than they are now, unless they lose like 47-0, which is possible. Maybe they're Enron. I don't know. It's possible. But I'll take a shot on the Browns, guys, getting 10 when it gets there against the Eagles.
Nick, we appreciate the time, man. Great stuff, as always.
Also, give me the Pitt Panthers, guys, laying 3 tomorrow against
Cal. I like that.
6-0 start.
Do people really think, like, that Cal blew a 25-point lead last week against Miami? Do people really think, like, Cal's getting up for this game here? Nah, like deflated, kick in the junk. Give me Pitt laying the points tomorrow against Cal. Appreciate it, guys. Wishing you and all your listeners minimal. Yeah.
One more question. It's a trivia question. Do you know who the famous Cal announcer is? He's now retired. Who announced the band on the field play?
I believe his. Is it your dad?
No.
I mean, it's a good guess because you knew the name.
Yeah, you know the name. It's a man of the same
name. Well, his last name is Starkey, right?
Yeah, Joe Starkey. Same name.
Oh, so, I mean, I feel like I should get a ton of credit for answering that question.
That's
the way
unbelievable. You do. That is legendary. Thank you.
There you go. You got it. Wishing everyone minimal sweats, winning best, the absolute very best of luck. Also, great game by the Penguins a couple nights ago against my Rangers. I'll talk to you guys.
How did we get him, Limits, as a free agent? How was he on the market? We signed him for this show.
He's the best, man. He just brings it.
Wow. Is he great? Yeah, Joe Starkey. That's the guy's name.
I did know that.
I used to be in press boxes when I covered the Penguins, and people would walk up to me and say, "You can't be him. He's like 75 years." Of course, now they would say, "Oh, you are him." But you can't be him. He's like 70 years old. Joe Starkey, the band on the field play.
How about the guess from Nick? Is that your dad?
That's almost reasonable, right?
It is.
I'm in broadcasting, so is my dad. But he's not my dad. I met him once, Donnie.
And you said, "Hi, I'm Joe Starkey."
It was in San Francisco a long time ago, circa 2005, four.
It's about
Kevin Harlow had a big game for the Niners. I think the lights might have gone out that. You remember that game? It was a night game in San Francisco. And I went down, knocked on his little press box thing, and he opened it. I said, Joe Starkey, pleased to meet you. It was unbelievable. And he had a great story. He claims he was the only man to broadcast radio live from the Miracle on Ice game in Lake Placid. And he was also the guy who preceded Mike Lang as the Penguins play-by-play guy. City Limits didn't know that, did you?
I did not know that.
Did you know that?
It's a hell of a career.
It's a hell of a career.
I don't think I did.
He has a lot of trouble admitting when he was wrong. Have you noticed that about Limits?
I don't think I did.
I don't think I did. Instead of I didn't know.
I didn't know.
I wasn't entirely sure.
You've known him for a long time. Does he have trouble? He also has trouble taking compliments, Limits. Have you noticed that, Donnie? Yes. I could say something like, "Limits, you're a very insightful man."
Joe, thank you very much. Yes, I am.
How about that, Donnie? And that even underscores it. He can't just say thank you. He has to double down. Yes, I am a very smart man.
That's the first time I've doubled down on a compliment you've given me. Thank you very kindly, I might add.
All right.
How about Nick, though, liking Pitt tomorrow?
I love that. And Pitt is becoming a huge... Why don't we spend 2 minutes on that?
I do
right
want
now?
To talk
What do we have? Bechtold's breakdown
yes,
next?
Yes, Pitt was
Limits?
A part of the breakdown, if you want to save it for then or do it now. Up
well, why
you.
Don't we just hit on this really quickly? And that is... I wrote about this week, that it's a great time to dream if you're a Pitt fan. And you can legitimately do that. When you haven't lost a game yet, when your team hasn't lost a game yet, and I'm not talking like 2-0, 3-0, In fact, I think 5-0 is about the time that it gets realistic. Mm-hmm. Then you have license to talk and dream about anything you want when you're 5-0. And you're not crazy. You want to start talking about could they play Penn State in a playoff? Talk about it. You want to talk about will they be in the playoff? Pat Forty of Sports Illustrated, I respect him as much as any college football writer in the country. He has them as an at-large right now playing Indiana, Donnie. And it's not unrealistic. Would I bet on them getting there? Probably not. But they have a star quarterback, a pretty favorable schedule, although some tough games coming up. It's okay to dream right now.
And I give Pat Narduzzi a ton of credit because last season, a disaster. They were 3-9, and he had to kind of look himself in the mirror. And, you know, he's a head football coach at a Division I school. And, I mean, you can think, you know, he's stubborn, hard-headed, whatever. I mean, a lot of those guys are. It just kind of comes with the territory. He had to look himself in the mirror and think, I have to change something here. I have to change my philosophy because he was getting comps at the college level to kind of what Mike Tomlin would do. He wanted to be the hard nose. We'll play good defense. We'll run the football. We'll beat you in a rock fight.
Yeah.
He said none of that anymore. He goes out. He hires a very young, savvy, exciting offensive coordinator who brings in one of his best players, Desmond Reed, who I have no idea how he wasn't playing somewhere else. Already, because that kid is a ball player. He makes that change, changes up his entire philosophy, and now he looks like a genius. He looks like one of the smartest coaches in the country. So he was able to look at himself and say, I got to change the way I do things here, and it's going to take a risk, absolutely. You know, what if Cade Bell flames out? What if, you know, the decision I make at quarterback, Eli Holstein doesn't work.
Yeah.
But the fact is that it hasn't. And they look like a team that could legitimately go from 3-9 to the college football playoff.
So far, so great, man. And they got Cal. And Cal last week should have beaten Miami. They were, of course they should have. They were up 25 points. But they lose in crushing fashion. Now they got to fly across the country. I think it's a great time to get them. And then I think SMU after that, am I mm-hmm. right about that? They're good. A lot of people talking about SMU right now as a good team, and then bigger games ahead like Clemson and things like that. Why not Pitt? When you have a quarterback who's as good as Eli Holstein appears to be, and again, we have a five-game sample, but man, I love what I see so far from his demeanor to his skills to everything else. I love this guy. You?
Oh, I mean, he is much better than I think any of us could have imagined.
Man, he makes every throw you want to make on the run. He's got his head downfield looking to make plays. He'll run it himself and usually wisely. There's nothing not to like right now.
Yeah, and no disrespect at all to Nate Yarnell, because I do give someone like him credit for staying loyal, which we know that college football loyalty is the last thing most of the people are thinking about at this point. They would not have been off to this start with him. He's done some nice things in his Pitt career, but Eli Holstein actually has the chance to take this team somewhere they didn't expect to be.
I'll tell you this much, Donnie. These iced coffees that you can get in vending machines nowadays are an absolute miracle. Do you indulge in these?
Not those kind. Like, I'll get the actual ones. Like, I will drive to Dunkin' and...
Yeah.
Or, like, tomorrow morning, I'm already looking forward to the iced coffee at the airport.
You've already thought about it, right?
Oh, I've been thinking about it for a few days.
Yeah. I think about these when they're not when I'm not drinking them. I thought about this. And then when I got here, first thing I did, Limits, was an iced coffee out of this little plastic bottle. And it's rejuvenated me. It's miraculous. It's been a-
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Get the good guys, Ballsy and Geist.
I love that song, Danny, don't you?
That's going to be a new one, a new remix.
I also love how City Limits, who can't seem to find any music for rejoins at the beginning of the show when it comes to his segment, Beckfield's Breakdown, we get an actual real live song playing in the background.
Oh, we're on this again.
Blanking believable.
Joe, what songs do you want to play?
You know what? Next week, I'm going to come back with iBlack. That has a message for you, buddy, with some expletives in it, okay?
Yeah.
We're ready.
New
We're excited.
Effing music.
No, exactly. We're ready.
All right, the breakdown for the 11th of October. Let's do it. Last night, Thursday Night Football, San Francisco beat Seattle 36-24. And to me, more than anything, San Francisco ran their third back, their fourth back, seemingly their fifth running back. No Christian McCaffrey, no problem. And Geno Smith, which could put, you know, a little bit of a complicated issue into the Steelers quarterback situation. They got Geno Smith. He won, what, comeback player of the year, a really good player. And now we're really starting to see Geno Smith fall off. And it's kind of that venture with journeyman quarterbacks. What did you guys think of last night's game? And is Brock Purdy finally back to being the Brock Purdy of what we saw late down the stretch last year that could have been an MVP candidate?
I mean, he was good. But as you were talking, my take came together. And perhaps I should feel ashamed. I still don't believe in Brock Purdy. Is there something wrong with me? It's just the eye test. It's just the sort of that little gut feel. And I know he just went to a Super Bowl. He didn't play horribly in the Super Bowl. I can't explain it. I watch him play and it's just something about it, Donnie. And I'm ashamed of it. In fact, I'm now in a shame spiral, if you'd care to rescue me. I don't think there's something about him that bothers me still. I'm probably wrong about that.
You know what I had my takeaway from last night's game? Now, Purdy was awesome. I mean, he clearly played the best game of his season, and Geno Smith was not great. Geno had a couple of key mistakes. He threw two big picks, one early, one late. My takeaway with that run game, and I know that that's what Austin said there a moment ago, no Christian McCaffrey, no problem. Anything that they throw in there is going to be good. And it made me think about the guy that we have here and what Najee Harris would look like in the 49ers offense. Because
he might be the only guy that wouldn't look good in their offense.
So that's the thing. All of these guys, they look so explosive. Every time they touch the football, they don't second guess. It's not even a split second of hesitation. They know exactly where they want to go. I mean, who the hell had ever heard of Isaac Garendo last night? And the guy ran for almost 10 yards. Carry. He had 10 for 99. He had a 76-yard run that certainly helped fuel that. Jordan Mason, though, he was at, as of last night, since they have now played an extra game, he is the NFL's leading rusher this season. And the guy was just a dude that they, you know, picked up in the draft. He's a rookie, and he had 9 for 73. He had almost a 40-yard run last night. Even Patrick Taylor, they throw in here for a few runs. Like, you see these guys, and they all look like they were built in a factory. They don't all look exactly the same. It's not quite like every Orioles prospect that gets called up. But the way they run the football, it's like they're all perfect. They're all perfect. It's just so smooth. Such a smooth transition. They don't have one of the best players in the league, and they can still run so effectively.
It's beginning to look a lot like Mulsey. Is it too early, Donnie, for Christmas carols?
I actually love Christmas music, Joe. I'm not kidding. Like, Sarah actually thinks it's hilarious how much I like Christmas songs. I normally wait until we get to, like, November 1, and we start.
Mulsey. Roasting on an open fire. It's never too early for me either. I sense Donnie and I are kindred spirits there. limits.
It's too early. You have to wait until the day after Thanksgiving. Give Thanksgiving the respect that it deserves.
Put the thanks back in Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Is what I say.
Put the scare back in Halloween.
Shines. Yeah, okay. I will. I'll put that on the shelf. The elf on the shelf, you might say. The Malzy on the shelf. Go ahead, Limits.
On the shelf. Well, Pat Narduzzi yesterday, Donnie, you heard this on the PM team with Pony and Mueller, was asked about Eli Holstein and concerns that he'll leave Pitt for greener pastures. How about Narduzzi said that he can win a Heisman Trophy here as well as a national championship here. Our buddy Nick Costos has Pitt going to 6-0 and beating Cal this week. And there's a realistic possibility if Pitt beats Clemson, which I believe is at home, Pitt can go to the playoff, at least to the ACC championship game.
I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, I don't think Narduzzi saying that is ridiculous. I mean, a couple of years ago, Kenny Pickett was a finalist for the Heisman Trophy. So Holstein, yeah, like it is actually there. The recent precedent is there that a Pitt quarterback, a big season leading you to maybe perhaps a college football playoff, that could get you the invite to New York City and maybe even have you lifting up that trophy. Now, the concerns with him going elsewhere, I do think that Pat kind of poo-pooed it a little bit, and maybe he didn't want to think about that right now because they're in season. I do think the Panthers need to have a budget set aside, a nice little bag for Eli Holstein, because you'd be kidding yourself not think that there are some schools out there thinking, okay, this dude can play.
Who said that?
I want him to play for us.
It was just a question at a news conference, or
somebody
said that?
No, Pony and Chris had Pat on yesterday.
Oh, okay, and asked him about it.
Yes.
Yeah, well, obviously it's a legitimate concern. There's no doubt about that. But the part about winning a Heisman and going to the playoff, as we said, or as I said in the last segment, when you haven't lost a game, until you lose a game, you're licensed, I think, as a Pitt fan or anybody in that program to say whatever the hell you want. You know what? You might be right. I wouldn't jump ahead to Clemson, however, my limitless wonder. They got some tough games beforehand. I mean, I think they're catching Cal at the right time, but Cal was pounding Miami last week, and SMU is a very good team. SMU is really good. So they got some work to do, but are those conceivable scenarios that they could be in the playoff? Once you're in the playoff, of course you could get to the national championship game. It's not totally inconceivable. And when you're undefeated, you can dream. And I like that.
And how about Narduzzi as a home favorite, 4 points or less in his career at Pitt? He's 9-0, and he's 7-0-2 against the spread. It includes wins against Penn State, or that push against Penn State, where it was a 3-point spread, 42-39 in 2016, a win over ranked Louisville, and a win over ranked Syracuse a couple years ago as well.
Wait a second. In his whole career, read me that stat again.
Narduzzi, in games that he is a home favorite by 4 points or less, which Pitt is this week against Cal, 3.5-point favorites, Narduzzi is 9-0 straight up. And seven
in his whole career, he's only
Pitt,
been favored by
Pitt.
Okay, in his whole career at Pitt, he's only been favored by 4 points or less at home 9 times?
That's correct. He's 7-0-2 against the spread in those games.
Does that strike you as odd, Donnie? Seems a little, I guess.
I mean, I feel like
there should be more games like that.
Well, I also feel like in college football, you see much more, you know, sizable spreads.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, what do we make of that? Limits is what you're asking?
It was just another note I wanted to add on. We can move on.
No, okay. You just wanted to throw in a note, move on.
I'm picking them tomorrow, that's for sure.
So am I.
It further goes to our point that we think they're going to win and they're going to cover once again, being 3.5-point favorites. How about the Penguins in a bounce back last night, guys? Joel Blomquist, I still can't figure out how to correctly pronounce his name. Joel Blomquist. I kept listening.
Joel Blomquist.
I kept listening to Getzoff on the broadcast try to properly say it, and I still don't know if I say it right regardless.
Well, that wasn't the biggest mispronunciation during that broadcast.
No.
It was when Getzoff was talking to Tom Werner, who's only running Fenway Sports Group, and he didn't know the name of the Penguins arena. He called it PPG Paint Arena. That was a hell of an interview, was it not, Donnie? I don't know, man. Something just feels not family-like, like you have outsiders running the Penguins. I know that wasn't your question, And it was Josh Getzoff does a great job, and the questions from him were fine. I'm talking about observing Werner. It just doesn't have that old Penguin family feel anymore. But a very nice ball game last night. I thought they looked pretty good. And Blomqvist saved them in the first period, Donnie. Did you see the Werner interview?
I did not see it.
Dean Werner from Animal House.
I have a husband named Dean Werner at Faber.
I don't know. It was something. There's something there that bothers me. I'll just say that. And he seems like a wonderful man.
When it comes to the goaltenders, I think we're going to see Tristan Jarry get benched for the second year in a row. The second year on this five-year deal, I think he's going to get benched.
If Limits was on top of things, he would have asked, would you start Blomqvist Saturday?
I never got a chance to ask the question. That's what the question was. Would you start riding Blomqvist?
Can you believe this, Donnie? Can you believe this?
You know how much I like Blomqvist compared to Tristan Jarry, who I think should have been sent out of here years ago.
So what's your question? Would you play him against the Leafs on Saturday?
Would you play him against tougher competition? I know the Red Wings are, you know, fringe playoff team. Would you try to put Blomqvist out there, especially before Nedeljkovic gets back, to get an extended look at him against really good teams?
Absolutely.
Is that a long way of asking, would you start him Saturday against the Leafs? Okay. Yeah, I would.
And I think either Nedeljkovic or Blomqvist will take the job from Jarry at some point this season.
I mean, It is imperative that the Penguins get off to a good start. They started 3-6 last year. It was just never really right. And this season, that you have to get off to a better start. You do. And set a tone for the season and make sure that Dubas doesn't start thinking about, they'll start moving people out here. I actually think they have something with their bottom six. And you know what? If Tristan Jarry, after all this offseason, and all the money he's making, turns in that effort in the first game, and the other guy plays great, then the other guy gets the next start. That's how I feel.
Also, 800 career assists for Evgeny Malkin in the game. Happy birthday today to TJ Watt, everyone. The question is TJ Watt, as another year older, the greatest player to never win a playoff game?
You would have to present Donnie and I a list of candidates like that, not expect us to think of it off the top of our heads.
Mike Trout is one example that comes to mind.
Oh, we're going all
sports.
He never won a playoff game?
He's never won a playoff game.
Yeah, I think they've only made the playoffs once in his career, and they got swept.
Well, I guess I would put Trout slightly ahead of TJ.
I would put Trout ahead of him.
But he's up there as far as NFL players who have never won a playoff game.
Yeah, how about when it comes down to NFL
guys?
Yeah,
NFL guys just in general. Trout was just another
name
that immediately popped out.
Did Dick Butkus ever win one? I don't think Gale Sayers and Butkus ever won a playoff game. Their careers, Donnie.
We want to go Super Bowl era?
Yes.
Okay, give us some sort of working list, Wonder Twin.
Well, you could go based off of Butkus. You could go...
That's before... This is unbelievable, Donnie. Is it not? I don't know who else to pick from Limits. Who else is on the list?
Well, it was just a list that I came up with off the top of my head, to be honest. Don't hate the question, hate the game, apparently.
I don't know what the question is.
No, he asked, is TJ Watt the best player to never win a playoff game?
I guess, but I have to know. Do you want O.J. Simpson? No, O.J. Simpson was. Thank you, Limits.
Didn't he win one playoff game?
No, he never won a playoff game.
All right, there's your answer. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anything else?
That would be all, Joe. Unless you want me to get the one more note.
Yes, I love the notes section. Give us a little stat
to
leave us with.
Thank you very much. Cincinnati and the Giants is Sunday Night Football this week. Could the Giants pull off an upset? The Bengals are 4-17 all time on Sunday Night Football. Oh.
Listen, man, I was primed to pick the Giants till we heard from Nick Costos, who told us that Thibodeau and Neighbors are not playing. I still think it might be tough because Daniel Jones actually appears to be having a little bit of a renaissance here, and they've been competitive in every game but the first one, and are 2-2 since then. So the way the Bengals are right now, I don't think this is going to be comfortable. But the fact that the Giants are without, I don't know, those are two best players, maybe, is more than problematic. So I think Cincy will win.
The Bengals offense has been really, really good the last few weeks. Joe Burrow is still a damn good quarterback. Chase and Higgins are still two very good wide receivers that he has to utilize. And I think they will simply just be able to outscore what the Giants can do. I mean, the Giants can put up points because that Bengals defense stinks. That's their total Achilles heel. But the way Cincy's offense has played the last few weeks, I mean, you see last week what ended up being a loss. You see that happen. I think Cincy's just going to be able to keep them at arm's length.
Nice work limits. Thank you for that.
You're quite welcome.
PetFest 24 presented by Subaru's back October 27th at Rockwell Park in East End. Event runs from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your four-legged friends. Donnie, you bringing one? You got a dog at home?
We do not, but probably sometime in the future.
Yeah, I'm bringing Bailey. That's the plan anyway. Muffin, who is Limit's dog, apparently isn't very social. Did you know that about Muffin?
Well, no, Muffin is very social. Muffin just likes people. She's not very social with other dogs.
Oh, well, that's what I meant. That's what you told me. Is there problems? Does he, like, bark at them? Or
Muffin
like,
will bark at
them?
Dogs, yeah. No, yeah. She does not try to bite them. She's a very small dog. She's very lovable and very precious, but she does not like other dogs.
Is there a reason? Have you sensed a reason? Is she, I don't know, jealous? Is she fearful? Why not? Did you not ingratiate her to other dogs when she was little? What's the problem?
No, we did. She'll tolerate the other dogs, but other dogs seem to be a lot more interested in her than she is in other dogs. Like, they'll come up and try to play, and Muffin will just kind of walk away and just lay down somewhere and be not too interested.
I love that. I almost want you to bring her so we can observe that thing. Let's do that. Why don't you bring Muffin? Maybe her and Bailey will hit it off. Bailey is very sensitive to others' needs, and maybe she'll like Bailey. Maybe they'll get married.
Yeah, maybe.
That could happen. How old is she?
Muffin is 13.
Bailey's 7. He's been looking for an older woman.
Yeah.
Bring your four-legged friends to vendors, participate in costume contests, and get photos with Santa. Stop by any Subaru dealer for complimentary tickets. For more information, go to 937thefan.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.